Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Today's episode has been sponsored by Jay McLaughlin. Jay McLaughlin is a timeless lifestyle brand with incredible style and a spirit of connection. I am obsessed with Jay McLaughlin and have been so honored that they are sponsoring my Zibbyverse tour. It just so happens that the tour goes to so many communities and areas of the country that have Jay McLaughlin stores. And I love that the brand is philanthropic through Jay McLaughlin's local and loyal programming. Host store events to give back to organizations that are meaningful to Jay McLaughlin's local communities. I also love the fact that the clothes are just so chic. They make me feel polished and modern. And the best part is that most of the line comes in fabrics that don't wrinkle. I especially love the dresses, the cashmere sweaters, the other sweaters. You'll see them all over my Instagram. I typically tag at Jay McLaughlin. And so you can check it out. It is absolutely one of my favorite brands, and I am over the moon excited to be working with them. In fact, I want to share the love with all of you. Jay McLaughlin is giving 20% off new customers and listeners of my podcast with special code ZIBBY20. Capital ZIBBY 20. That's 20% off for new customers and listeners of the podcast with special code capital Z Zibby 20. Take advantage of it today. My favorites are this white open long cashmere sweater that I've been wearing on every flight that I've taken on this tour. I have a blue with light blue horizontal striped sweater, several dresses I even wore on Good Morning America. Check it out, Jay McLaughlin. Thanks so much.
Hi, I'm Zibby Owens, and I am the host of this podcast, Moms Don't Have Time to Read Books. I am also a newly minted USA Today bestselling author of the novel Blank. I've created a whole community of book lovers around this podcast, a publishing company, reading retreats, a bookstore, and more. Learn more at zibbymedia.com or follow me on social at Zibby Owens or join the community at Zibby Readers. Paige Lale is the author of But Everyone Feels This Way, How an Autism Diagnosis Saved My Life. Diagnosed with autism spectrum disorder at the age of 15, Paige is an advocate and influencer for a better understanding of autism on social media. Paige began making videos in response to a degrading post about autistic people, initially creating a four-part series to address common misperceptions about autism. Now in her 20s, Paige is an autism acceptance activist on YouTube and TikTok. Paige also works part-time as a dance teacher and shares her home in Kawartha Lakes, Canada with her dogs, Macy and Medusa, and cat Mikado. She narrated the Audible original American Girl by Wendy Walker, an instant number one Audible bestseller, which, oh my gosh, I did not realize and forgot to even ask her about, but I adore Wendy Walker, who has been on this podcast many times, including for American Girl. Welcome, Paige. Thank you so much for coming on Moms Don't Have Time to Read Books to discuss But Everyone Feels This Way, How an Autism Diagnosis Saved My Life.
Thank you for having me. I'm so pumped. Thank you for giving it a read.
I did. I read it, all of it. I loved it. I thought I learned so much about so many things, but the way you wrote about autism actually is writing about understanding human beings at all. I mean, it's applicable to so much stuff. So, and just like the memoir parts of your life. And I thought it was really great, the mix of information and story and your mom. It feels like there could be a movie. I don't know. I thought it was
great. Oh my gosh. Thank you so much. No, yeah, there's a lot going on in there for sure.
So why don't you tell listeners about the book?
Yeah, sure. Well, I started writing the book, But Everyone Feels This Way. I was, I think, 20 and 21 when I finished. And the only reason I point that out is yesterday I was at a lunch and a girl said, "You wrote a memoir. You're a kid. How did you write a memoir? You're still a child." And I'm like, that is fair. I have not done very much, but the very little that I have done was weird and complicated. And I think that that's an abnormal part about most people's lives. Most people have a great, or as in the childhood is like the best part of a lot of people's lives, the easiest part of their life, the happiest part of their life, the time when they don't have the most going on. And it was not the same for me. So it's weird to look at. But I think that not only in that way, I mean, I am autistic and that's quite different from a lot of people. But like you said, there's a lot about learning to be a person too that comes with your childhood and that an autistic person needs to learn and goes through as well. And seeing that whole lens and perspective. Yeah, I'm really excited to open up that conversation.
You talked a lot about how you learned how to mask. That was the right word, right? How you learned how to mask and how people would sometimes be surprised to learn about autism. Well, I mean, you weren't diagnosed until later in life, but, you know, later right. in your teen years. But that you basically studied human behavior so much intellectually that you were able to sort of put on what you needed to do at certain times, regardless of how you felt inside. And that's how acting ended up feeling so natural to you.
Right.
So cool. Yeah.
So much work being done all the time that you didn't even notice. And I think that when you're a kid too, you think that everyone else is doing it. Mm-hmm. And it's just all this work that you're doing. But it's so strange. And I'm really excited to have this way to be able to finally conceptualize my feelings mm-hmm. that I felt all this time. I think also because as a kid, you know, I've been saying stuff like this. I've been talking these words probably my whole life. But now that I'm an adult and I'm 23 now, people actually will listen and they're like, "Oh yeah, that makes sense." I'm like, I've been saying this forever, but no one takes kids seriously. And I'm honestly, I think it's a blessing and a curse to have the memory that I do. And the blessing part about it is that I can take all those memories that I've gathered all my life and put them forward to good use and do something good with them. And I, like, my childhood wasn't the worst, but I remember the things that I didn't love about it or the things that I know I would do differently, and a lot of them. And I think that that's something that is really beneficial as an adult now, as a growing human, seeing what I didn't get mm-hmm. and what I need to do now to make sure that I do get that now. Hmm. But it's a bridge between growing up undiagnosed autistic and growing up with trauma. And really there are a lot of similarities.
I can see that.
So, yeah, very well,
I feel like your emotions were minimized for so long or like ignored. Or you had that one really devastating scene. I mean, it's your life memory where, you know, you were just crying in the living room and your dad, I guess, was having a long day and he was yeah. just like, you know, "Can you turn it down a little bit? Or could you just," and you're like, "But I'm in here crying." I mean, that's like, mm-hmm. that's so hard. Mm-hmm.
I thought so too. It's so strange. Like even at the time of a kid, I'm like, this is weird, right? This is not fair. I even say it in my book. I'm like, mm-hmm. my dad tells me to go away. And I'm like, you're not supposed to tell me that.
Right.
In my heart, I felt like my father wasn't supposed to do that. I felt like I needed comfort. It was very strange and didn't happen. But that's the thing about growing up, I guess, is learning. Like, I guess you always know, or at some point you learn that your parents are people and that they're just regular humans. But mm-hmm. I guess as you go, you learn that they, you know, you really learn who your parents are and what their priorities were. And, you know, every parent probably does their best, right? But it's important to look back at it.
That's true. Mm-hmm. I feel like you have to, though, at some point kind of mourn the loss of yeah. what you wish you had.
100%. I think that that's a big deal for sure. I think also like that's a lot of autistic adults too. A lot of us like more typically like kiddish things sometimes. Like you may see autistic people like really into Disney for a lot longer than others, or really into like more childish things for a lot longer. But I think that
part of it is for a lot of us, we didn't have a safe childhood. Mm. Even if you had like the greatest space ever growing up, it's really tough just being autistic in the life. And I would argue it gets easier over time as you age because of you can start to control some of your surroundings. Like being a baby and being autistic and having all the sensory issues is awful. It's so uncomfortable all the time. So it's, yeah, a lot of autistic childhoods are really in pain, and it's sad, but it's also beautiful to see how a lot of us grow up and are able to be just even a smidge bit happier.
Wow. That's sad. Happy and sad.
I'm like, yay, happy endings. But yeah, also, yeah, not the loveliest thing, but you come out of it, right? Everyone has their, I don't know, their thing. I like to think like everyone has a story that would make you want to drop to your knees and cry and scream at the world. And that's why I just want to be nice to everybody.
Aww.
Because you could say that for everyone. And this is just a small little bit of mine. And it's really it's so surreal sharing it with people because I'm just a little gal from a small town, and now I'm sharing my life with people. And it's bizarre that it matters to anyone, or, you know, it's that my life is how I found similar to some other people's, and I couldn't believe it. I never could believe it. And it's so bizarre having my life out there and just seeing just what I think and what I say and what people around me thought and said. I just love people. I think that's the coolest thing, that all of our experiences are what really teaches the rest of us, and sharing what happens actually helps a lot of people. I had no idea that that would happen. And I'm so excited to see where this book, I mean, where it could go.
Aww. From here. Welcome to being a writer.
Yeah, thanks. It's wild. My first one.
Yeah.
And I said, I guess you only have the first one once. So I said to my team, every time I mess up, I'm like, it's my first time. Don't worry. This will never happen again. My first time only happens once.
So,
hopefully the next time, if there is a next time, which I would love for there to be a next time. I love writing. I've always loved writing. I think that's what helped me too. When I was a kid, I used to write in journals all the time. And so I have so many journals from being a kid. And I have all that like stored in my head too, from just seeing it, all the stuff I wrote down as a kid.
So you should might as well get started on your next one.
Might as well just get going.
Yeah. I mean, you're already behind. I mean, chop, chop. Yeah.
Yeah. At this point I am. Absolutely. This one isn't even out yet. And it's like, yeah, they probably signed on for a movie. No, I'm kidding. That'd be cool. No, it's just, yeah, it's wild. It's unbelievable. It's so cool.
And one thing that I really think you did such a good job of, and I read a lot of books about parenting and neurodiversity and all this kind of stuff, but I feel like you explained it so well, how autism is not a disorder, it's not a disease, you can't like come down with it, I mean, obviously, but that it's literally the way, like you break down the science in very concrete terms. So it's like, oh, well, yeah, of course. There, you know,
right. I love science, and that's my favorite thing, because science makes you go, oh, like, of course that makes sense, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
I think that part of what people, like what makes people angry at each other or weird about each other, is just a lack of understanding. And really, once you understand the bread and butter of it, right, like you said, oh, well, that kind of makes a lot more sense.
Mm-hmm.
I think I love talking about science. That was one of my favorite parts.
So at the end of your book, not to give anything away, but people know this because this may be how they know you to begin with, but at the end of your book, you talk about how you found TikTok during the pandemic and started posting, and then it got kind of out of control, and all these people were, I mean, compared to TikTok, this is going to be fine, you know, this book release. You're going to be like, oh, whatever.
Isn't that weird? I'm so excited, and I'm releasing a book, and I have all these opportunities that are really amazing. And then I'm so excited. It's quite different from the TikTok stuff, but I think that I'm in a way, I guess, kind of glad that I got that out of, I don't know, first. And so now I know a little bit more of what I'm doing, and also be a little bit more professional and cautious moving forward. Now, yeah, being an adult, but yeah, blowing up on TikTok. That was weird. Not my ideal. Not my vibe, honestly.
No.
Not my vibe. It was not. I was, I don't know what's going on. But can I be honest? I had, you ever heard of Ask FM?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that was a thing like years ago. Mm-hmm. And I don't know. I think I'm funny sometimes and I'll answer stuff. And I guess some of my things were okay. And I had like a lot of followers on Ask.fm when I was like 12. Wow. And I shouldn't have been on social media, but I guess everyone was okay with it. And I was like, this is weird. And I used to remember my teachers, whenever they'd have like cyber talks or about like cybersecurity, they'd always point me out like, Paige, you search up Paige's name and she comes up, she's on there. And I was always so embarrassed. And then I got Instagram and I got a few like 1,000 followers on Instagram. And I'm like, what's going on? Like, what is this? I don't understand. And then when it happened on TikTok and it went big, I was like, okay, I guess, you know what? I mean, I've grown up, the reason why this is so shocking, I think, is I've grown up a lot of my life being autistic. A lot of people don't like me. A lot of people in my real life just haven't vibed with me. And it's so strange that strangers do. Mm. And because strangers do, I think TikTok was the thing that was like, okay, Paige, figure it out. I know you hate people like watching you, even though I am an actor. I love that I can't see anyone in the audience. That's my favorite part. I'm like, you just got to suck it up, I think, now. And you got to do it. You got to do it for the people. You have to talk to all of these people that share the same experience that you have, that you've been trying to push away for so long, that you've been experiencing. Look at all of these other people that are also like feeling the little bits of pain that I have been feeling my whole life. But I think it's cool now being maybe just the safety of being an adult and being able to navigate those spaces freely and safely. And well, not freely, I guess, but you know.
I think it's so funny that you keep referring to yourself as an adult, which obviously you are. Which obviously you are. But when you're like, I finally got to this part, and I'm like, do you understand that most authors I talk to who are like 60 years old are working out these things? You know, that they still are not feeling like adults.
I feel so, yeah, I guess, but I am the oldest, I guess, I've ever been. I try to remind myself, like, yes, you do feel old because this is the oldest. Very true. But I feel like ever since I was a kid, I felt old. So maybe that's part of it, you know, or that they always say, yeah, the mature young gal. I was mature. I also did cry a lot as a kid, but I was always
that. That really got to me. I mean, that you were crying like every day, all the time.
I feel it was awful. I hate
you
it.
Still cry or you're
no. Oh no. I'm which is great. I mean, I do. I mean, I'll cry lots of times. Now I cry way more from being happy. I cry so much from happy stuff, which is a lovely thing about being autistic, is that I get so happy, even at just little things. It's really beautiful. But yeah, I used to cry all the time. It was so, I mean, no one likes crying. And that like sobbing, dry heaving, hyperventilating crying, like that's not fun. That's so poopy. And I had so many talks with my parents as I was growing up, and I had to try to explain to them as I was growing up, like, I'm not being dramatic. I'm not trying to be, because they called me like, you know, I remember I had like shirts that would say like spoiled brat, spoiled, rotten, you know, all that stuff. Like, you're so spoiled. You're such drama queen, all that stuff. And they'd say all those things and like, shut up, stop crying, shut up, like, get over it or whatever, like, quit it. You're making it worse. You're making me angry. And I'm like, when you say that, it makes it worse. I'm mm-hmm. crying more now because you're yelling at me.
Yeah.
And when I first could say that to them, it was like, they were so shocked. They couldn't believe it. Mm-hmm. I'm like, is that not common sense to you? That if you yell at a kid, they're going to cry? Like, come on, man. I'm a kid and I know that. You're 35. Like, dude, I couldn't believe it. Do you think I want to cry like this all the time? This is so awful. This is so not fun. Wow. Yeah. I don't know. Yeah. I don't know if my parents' generation, just that's what my parents say, though, that they learned differently. Mm. I'm like, maybe you did. Maybe you did. Well, I also think that people are, maybe you guys just weren't super into raising kids, and that's fine. That's fine. Yeah. I'm alive and I'm here and I'm doing great. And they were great.
I loved how you wrote about your brother, Graham. So awesome. Are you still really, I mean, I'm still, you just finished the book, but you know, I love your relationship with him and how you described him as like, then in high school, he became like so cool. And he was the one who was like, you don't need all these people to like you. Like, you don't have to go to this party if you don't want to, because
he's
like,
so cool.
Yeah. Tell me more about him.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
This message is sponsored by Greenlight. As kids get older, some things about parenting can get easier. I mean, not many, but some. But others don't, like having conversations about money. Point is, kids won't really know how to manage their money unless they're actually in charge of it, and that is where Greenlight can help. Greenlight is a debit card and money app made for families. Parents can send money to their kids and keep an eye on their kids' spending and saving, while kids and teens build money confidence and lifelong financial literacy skills. With the Greenlight app, kids can learn how to save, invest, and spend wisely, thanks to games that teach money skills in a fun and accessible way. I got Greenlight debit cards for my kids. The greatest thing, you can actually add their photos that take up half the card. So when I handed the cards to the kids, they were like, "This is so exciting." So they look great. Unfortunately, I only put the required 2 cents on at the beginning to make sure they worked. So the kids were like, "Well, what should I spend my 2 cents on?" Anyway, millions of parents and kids are learning about money on Greenlight. It's the easy, convenient way for parents to raise financially smart kids and families to navigate life together. Sign up for Greenlight today and get your first month free when you go to greenlight.com/Zibby. That's greenlight.com/Zibby to try Greenlight for free. Greenlight.com/Zibby.
Well, he's always been so, I don't even know if confidence the word, because I don't think he's been confident, but he's been, I think just, he is such a good person. He's never had a reason to walk into a room and be weird at all, to feel any kind of way. He walks into a room with like always with a smile on his face, and he's just happy to be there and excited to meet people and just happy about life. And it was so silly growing up. We were so different and compared a bit, but our parents really tried not to compare us. We were quite different though. Graham was always the athletic one. He played hockey forever and he wasn't that good at school. And I was the one that was really good at school and I wasn't a big sports person. And I was also the one that was more dramatic, right? I cried all the time, but I also was in theater and I was acting. And Graham was, when he was little, he was always shy. And just a shy little kid, shy little nice kid. And so we were so different. But I think now, honestly, he's old now. I say old, but he'll be 21 in 2 months, which is not that old.
He's ancient, you know.
Yeah, I cannot believe it. It's wild. He used to be 7. It's just what, yeah, it's so weird. But yeah, now he's old. I don't see him as often, that's for sure. I think that he's not too sure what he's doing right now. I think he never knew what he was really going to do after high school. And now it's after high school. And he's like, what am I going to do? And so he's figuring it out. But I haven't seen him. I haven't seen him in a minute, which is unfortunate, but we're busy.
So you talk in the book about your love of acting, which you already referenced now. Is this, like, where do you see, not that you need to know, but because you seem like you're as mature as like a 6-year-old anyway, where do you want your life to go? And how much of your life do you want to be about advocacy for autism versus living your life, doing something else versus, you know, are these the things you're wrestling with?
These are such great questions. And this is, yes, these are the biggest questions of my life. And I think I've never known what I wanted to do ever. But I think that I've been acting forever. I love it. I truly do. And I've always thought whatever job I have, it's going to happen naturally. It's going to have to, because I have a lot of loves and I can't choose what to focus on. And I really want to live life. I really want to be happy. I really want to be stress-free most of my days. and just like go outside and breathe the air and go, oh, I've done everything I need to do today. Like, I want that way more often than I've had before. I spent like a lot of my teenagehood too. Like, I had 4 jobs on the go and I was dancing competitively and I was go, 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 go. Why did I do that? I hate that so much. I never want to do that ever again. That was awful. I don't want to be busy. And like, it's great to like make a lot of money now and then, you know, retire and do all that when you retire. But I'm also okay with like making a little less now and living a little bit easier now and just living easier after, I don't know, too much hard, I guess. Maybe that's just how I am right now, entering my 20s. Maybe this is my little break, my little moment of, okay, figuring out who you are, what's happened, getting back to you, getting back to the things that you were ashamed of doing because you were a teenager and scared of other people. And then maybe, I don't know, maybe I'll be different in a few years. But I know that right now I'm sticking with what is calling me.
Mm-hmm. That's great.
Like, yeah, there are a lot of people out there with a lot of important perspectives and opinions and relate to me a lot. And there's a lot of autistic kids out there that I don't want to grow up like me. And every time I talk, that changes a little bit. Even if like one kid, that's wild. That one kid could have been me and that could have changed my life. So
Aww. That's
the goal. And I hope that this book is another resource that someone wouldn't have found otherwise. Like, maybe couldn't have. Yeah, I hope that this helps somebody. I think if I read this as a kid, well, I would have probably freaked out because it's my brain, but it would have been really beneficial, and to my parents too, I think.
Yeah,
to get an inside look at my mind and what's going on.
Oh,
yeah.
You said you weren't gonna cry.
I know. What am I doing? Yeah, no, big cry. Always.
I cry all the time. I've cried twice today. I cried like saying goodbye to the bus this morning. You know, I'm like,
sometimes.
And people just live with their emotions a lot closer to the surface, you know? Boom.
Yeah. I've always been a very sensitive person, I guess. Yeah. But yeah, gosh. I live big. I got big feelings.
I think you're so right. I think people get so caught up in numbers, like how many people are reading this book or how many people. Right. If one person read this book and you affected their life and they were grateful to you for the rest of their lives, like, what a gift. That is such a gift. And that's not obviously not going to happen either. But, you know, it's just amazing.
I saw something about like post. Doesn't matter if you've got 7 subscribers or 7,000 post. You don't know. Do your thing anyway. Because there was this one guy, I guess he had like 2 subscribers and he was getting 10 views on a video. But one of those views was Oprah.
And Oprah
brought him on and changed his life.
No way.
Yeah. And ever since I heard that story, I'm like, oh, well, it could be Oprah. So it doesn't matter if one person sees it. That one person could really, it could be the person. It could be the person that needs to see it. You never know. Yeah.
Oh my gosh. What about parents who are listening who maybe they know their kid is autistic? Maybe they don't know. Maybe they suspect. Maybe they have friends of their kids who are autistic. And what do you want them to know that they don't know?
What do I want them to know? I want them to know about autism, I think, in the grander scheme of things overall. Every autistic person is so, so, so different. That's like one of the biggest things. Not only are we so different from everyone else, but we're so different from each other. And each of us is, you know, our own person with our own personality, with our own likes and dislikes and our own favorite things and least favorite things. And, you know, we're all people. We're autistic people, but, you know, we got to go through all the same other stuff that everyone else does too. We just got to do it, you know, with a little bit of extra juice. But yeah,
wow.
I think that I hope that if like anyone reads my book, that they find it helpful understanding a little bit more of the like the inner workings of an autistic mind and like what's going on with the thought process of an autistic person or like the reactions of an autistic person. And I think that there are some things, hopefully, if any parents, I mean, I'm sure that there are parents that understand what my parents were going through a little bit, and having a kid like me and not knowing what's going on. And I hope that they read this book and they go, oh my God, okay, I know what to do now, or I know what not to do now, or I know how to make this better in just a little way. And I feel it. I feel it. It's just going to be little things, but these little things are going to keep coming and keep getting bigger and keep changing so many people's lives that then it'll be everywhere. And autistic people everywhere will be just a little bit happier and be treated a little bit better. And I'll just keep being it. And I hope it never stops.
I love that. Yeah. Paige, I'm so impressed with you. The book was fabulous. It's really good on so many levels, and I really enjoyed it. I'm going to be giving this to a lot of people and recommending it, and, you know, bravo to you. I mean, oh my gosh, written at age 21. It's pretty awesome.
Thank you. Thank you very much. I appreciate talking with you.
I wish you all the best, and I love that you're like, I just love people and want to help them. I mean, how great is that? It's amazing. I wish more people were like you.
Oh, thank you. Thanks for having me. Thanks for chit-chatting with me about it.
My pleasure.
So excited for it to come out and more people to see it.
Yeah.
Very, very, very wild.
I hope you have plans to go to lots of schools and things like that. Are you doing that?
I would love to. Yeah. Okay. My school board's host building is like right next to my house. And I'm like, I might just go in. Hello, remember me? We'll see what happens.
Yeah. You should definitely. Kids are really going to benefit. That's great.
Thank you so much.
All right. Thank you.
Great talking to you.
Great talking to you too.
Bye. Have a great rest of your day.
You too. Thanks for listening to Moms Don't Have Time to Read Books. If you love it, please leave a review and follow us on social at Zibby Owens and at Zibby Readers.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50. Luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.